You're listening to SBS News.
Women who speak up against wrongdoing and become whistleblowers are paying a heavy price for their courage. Those are the findings in a new report from the Human Rights Law Centre. It finds women are more likely to face harassment and bullying in the workplace because of their whistleblowing disclosures. Among recommendations, it calls for an independent whistleblowers authority that would offer advice to those wanting to call out wrongdoing and a way to disclose information safely. For this episode of Weekend One-on-One, I've been speaking to Julia Delaforce, former RAAF airwoman. In 2010, as a serving member of the Australian Defence Force, she blew the whistle on serious cultural and systemic failures affecting women in uniform and harassment in the armed services. Her disclosure contributed to the Australian Human Rights Commission's Phase 2 report of the Review into the Treatment of Women in the ADF, published in 2012.
Initially, what happened for me is I made a report. So there was an incident at work. I was held in a hostage-like situation with a colleague with a machete, and he was significantly unwell. And on the outcome of that situation, I was left out of a report. So there was an incident report, a Q&A. And that report didn't even name me. So when that happened, I was questioning, why have they left me out of a report that is so important? Why have they not named me? Why is nobody checking on me? Why is nobody asking me what happened? Why is, when they all know that I'm involved? And then that led to me asking more questions and raising it to my chain of commands. And in that situation, they were telling me just to go back to work and just to ignore what had happened and that my name wasn't in a report. And I kept pursuing those questions, and my gut was telling me there's something really wrong. Why aren't they asking what's happened? And why are they not investigating this more seriously? Why are they trying to sort of put it under the, you know, under the rug, so to speak? Because of that, I just kept pursuing. So I went to, from the chain of command, then I went to an equity advisor, and then I went to back to the chain of command, and then I followed it up with a base commander, and then I escalated it to following a whistleblower policy that we had in defence at the time, which was to report to Australian Human Rights Commission, which is what I did. And that's when they paid attention, and that's when Defence all of a sudden was very interested in what had happened and discussing it with me. Mm. But unfortunately, I'd already blown the whistle, and from that moment on, it was career over. I just didn't know that at the time.
And what was the price that you were forced to pay for being brave enough to speak up?
Yeah, so at the time, I wasn't aware of it. It was an involuntary discharge. So that was the price at the time. I blew the whistle. So I had asked for it to be investigated. And then by pursuing the Australian Human Rights Commission whistleblower policy, I had inadvertently signed my own career away.
So that period of time that you were silenced, I'm wondering what changed for you later? What did change for you after that decade of being silenced?
Yeah, so what changed for me was being released from that. So there's a story behind being released from that, which was I wanted to participate originally in the Defence Abuse Response Task Force in 2015. And when I went to participate in that, I suggested I'd like to participate. However, I have signed an agreement with my employer. My restoration and repatriation may not look like everybody else's. What I would like to do is I would like to be able to tell my story and have peer support. I would like to be able to discuss what happened. And when I had initiated this agreement way back in 2013, I regret it. And can we please look at this and fix this for me? At that time, the commissioner of the Defence Abuse Response Task Force was Len Robert Smith, and he wrote back to me and said, no, we will not support you telling your story. You absolutely cannot. What we will support is money. We'll just give you more money. Like, I think at the time everybody was receiving less than $50,000 as like a payment for a blanket sort of, if you come forward with any kind of report around defence abuse, then we will give you a payment. And I think they had an agreement through a law firm, and I just sort of gave up on it. So what I did instead is I wrote to prime ministers, defense ministers, and then every couple of years I'd do the same thing. I'd write to the next defense minister under a different party, and I wasn't a very political minded person. That's not something that I followed. I didn't follow which party or who would look after me or who wouldn't. I just wrote to these prime ministers and defense ministers, like, please help me, I want the return of my voice, how can I go about this, my story is important. And then we had the Royal Commission into Defence Veteran Suicide, and some of those reports that were coming out around that time were around military abuses, but particularly what was alarming was there was a statistic in that, which was the female statistic for veterans, was if you join the Defence Force, you have double the chances for suicide. And if you are involuntary discharge, which is what happened with me, you have 5.2 times more likely to suicide. And when I heard those statistics, and they were very new statistics, I thought, now is my time to put my hand up and say, hey guys, I'd really love to talk to you guys, not just from what happened at my workplace back in 2010, but also to let you know and make you aware that I am the whistleblower at that time, which set in motion the treatment of women in the ADF, which was run by Australian Human Rights Commission, and the Sex Discrimination Commissioner at the time was Elizabeth Broderick. And then I had back and forth, Royal Commission into Defence Veterans was saying, no, we do not want you to participate publicly. And that's when I contacted a friend of mine who's also a defence whistleblower, David McBride, and David McBride put me in touch with Human Rights Law Centre and said, maybe these guys with their whistleblower project can help you. And they absolutely did. They reviewed everything that I put forward, and then they said, Julia, we think you're a unicorn. You have spent over a decade requesting to have your voice returned and to be able to tell your story and your lived experience, and we want to help you. And it was life-changing.
The Human Rights Law Centre, they've now released a report. What do you think this report reveals generally about the situation for women whistleblowers like yourself in Australia today?
It highlights that our whistleblowers in Australia, definitely we need protection. We need the Whistleblower Protections Authority. We also highlights the NDA, the need for NDA reforms. So NDAs are your non-disclosure agreements that are generally put in place when somebody in their workplace has, I want to say a falling out, but it's usually when a truth teller has come out and pointed out something within their workplace that is blowing the whistle. And that could relate to sex discrimination, it could be racial discrimination, it could be sexual harassment and abuses. The lawyer Regina Featherstone and the work that she's done around NDA reforms, it's so impactful and so important, especially for women. It is huge what they've undertaken. It's allowed me to be able to come back out and tell the story of what happened in my workplace, why I spoke up about it and blew the whistle, and then what the outcome of that was, and then why and how that was still impacting me a decade later with my own Royal Commission, and I'm not allowed to sit there and tell my story publicly as a witness. That to me is not democracy. Democracy should let us be able to tell our stories, especially at a Royal Commission into Defence and Veteran Suicide, when I'm a person with lived experience who's sitting there and saying, hey, there's these statistics, there's this crazy thing that happened a decade ago, but I would really love the opportunity to be able to talk about it, because this is how we're going to make recommendations and grow from this as a organization and society and heal. To have followed every single pathway to try and be able to speak up and speak out and still being told no because I signed something over a decade ago to me, it was ridiculous, and it's not democracy. And so that's why I fought so hard to say, no, this is wrong. And if it's happening to me, then it's happening to other people, especially in government organizations where they feel like they cannot speak up and speak out.
One of the reforms that Human Rights Law Centre is calling for is the establishment of a whistleblower protection authority. Do you think this is something that would also help women who are wanting to speak up against wrongdoing?
Absolutely. The Whistleblower Protection Authority is going to be a cornerstone for change for whistleblowers to feel like they can speak up and speak out without being retaliated against by their organisation and to feel protected. They're a truth teller, so they absolutely should feel protected.
And that authority, from what I understand, they're, you know, calling for that authority to be a completely independent authority. Why do you think that's so important?
It's so that we don't feel like there's somebody on the inside that's wearing that hat still connected to those government organisations. You might just be ringing that organisation, Whistleblower Protection Authority, for support to ask, why is it that I'm feeling this way? Is there something more to it? And they might just be on the other end saying, hey, we actually think there is more, something more to it, and you're in the right place.